720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth and Rex Hupke here hanging with you till 9 p.m. Pleasure to be with you on this Memorial Day weekend. Lots of things to talk about today on the show. We'll be doing a little bit of politics. We'll be doing a little bit of news stuff, a little bit of sports because there's some sports related news for us to discuss. There's lots of things. I would like to discuss something else, though, that has come up between us, Hupke, and that is in planning this show. It has come to my attention that here. Let me back up. There's a thing that I love the most about Chicago. And anytime someone says, "What do you like most about Chicago?" Since you weren't born here, I said, "No, I wasn't, but I got here as soon as I could." And the thing that I love about Chicago is that as soon as it is even a little bit warm, we are outside living like it is our last day on earth. We are embracing the sunshine and soaking it up because we know how cold it's going to be in February. As I like to say, our February selves will thank us. Let's all go outside. Let's do as many things as possible outside. So I enter this conversation with that said. So it's come to my attention that you have some kind of aversion to dining al fresco.
I am more of the rugged indoorsman, I think.
Get
you could say.
Out of here.
You
don't like hot weather?
I don't like hot weather, which is odd because I grew up in Florida.
Yeah.
So I think I just had enough over the years and can't take any more, perhaps. But
well, I grew up in Texas, so I'm going to just rip that little argument up.
Well, okay, fine. But I walk around Chicago and I see even the tiniest speck of a restaurant will put, like, you know, 1.5 chairs right on the side, and there's cars zipping by, you know, like on Western Avenue or something like that,
sure.
And they're buzzing by, and it smells horrible, and there's people in the 1.5, there's like 5 people sitting in the 1.5 chairs because
they're embracing the sunshine,
as human beings
have done for thousands of years.
You know, go walk in the park. You know, I'm not opposed to getting outdoors, actually. I just don't like eating outdoors because you introduce so many other things that are uncomfortable or potentially uncomfortable.
Like what?
Bugs, for one thing. There's even gnats. Then also just sweating. You know, like I just don't.
So
I don't like to.
Okay, producer Tom Hush, you're in there doing the poetry slam snaps up there.
Oh yeah.
So you are in agreement with Hupke?
Yes, I am in complete agreement. I am not a fan of eating outside. I want air conditioning.
What?
I want a controlled environment. I am there to enjoy myself, not swat away at sparrows.
Thank you. Yes.
Sparrows?
Yes. You've never been attacked by
What's
birds?
What's wrong with a bird? No, I've not been attacked by a bird. Adorable little creatures hop along.
Trying to get my fries.
Here, angels, have a little corner of a french fry because, you know, all God's creatures, you guys.
And then you get people that just like come up and check out your food, too. Like
Who
people
does that?
Walking by.
Where
I'm
do
like,
you
people?
Eat?
No, that's how they walk by.
People?
They're staring at you. And I'm like, stop staring at my. Look, I'm sweaty. I've got bugs bothering me. And now you're staring at my food. Not cool.
Domati, help me out, please. How do you feel about dining al fresco?
I don't know, man. I got to side with the fellas on this one. I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry, Amy. Sorry.
We need callers to help you out, I'm afraid.
Yes. I think it is beautiful to embrace the season and say, look at the beautiful sunshine upon us. Let us all eat outside. I cannot believe none of you agree with me on that.
There are many ways to embrace the great outdoors, but eating is not really one of them, I don't think.
I'm always scared something is going to fly into my food or something.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I don't like surprises.
What is the matter with you three? I cannot believe it. I'm telling you, this is how we enter this conversation, because I sit there going, it is warm and it is lovely, and warm weather puts me in a good and happy mood. My favorite thing is to walk around in the sunshine without fabric on my arms. If my arms are, like if I'm in a tank top, I'm so happy to just feel the sunshine. I love that. So why would I not want to do that as much as possible?
Well, you can do that indoors. You don't need to. I mean, and again, you know me, I'm heavily pro shorts. I don't like pants.
Yes, you are.
I despise pants. But that doesn't have anything to do with eating. I mean, you can eat inside and have a tank top or whatever on. That's
no,
not
it's not about the tank top. It's about experiencing the sunlight while outside.
Well, but the sun is still out there when you go out after you've had your meal and you've cooled off.
But
nicely.
That's like an hour of sunlight you didn't get while you're having that food.
I will admit that I ate at Pizza Capri yesterday outside.
Mm-hmm. And it was delightful, wasn't it?
It was enjoyable, but I was a bit paranoid. You know those little cotton things, that those allergens that fly around in the summertime? I was scared something would fly in my soup. I was concerned.
What did you think was going to fly into your soup?
One of these allergens, those cotton things that float around in the summertime.
You don't want to consume allergens when you're eating? My God.
Exactly.
Who would do that?
You got to have a Claritin and a heartburn medicine. I mean, come on.
Yes, I'll have the mozzarella sticks and a bowl of Claritin, please.
You three are such babies. I cannot believe this. Think about February. It is so cold in this city that don't you want to soak up as much summertime as you possibly can?
No.
Fine. We have a caller. Let's see what the caller has to say. Mike from Riverside. Hello. You're on WGN. How are you?
Hey, Amy. How are you? First of all, huge fan. But,
thank you.
I am in agreement with everybody else.
Oh, Mike. Lifelong Chicagoan.
Once it gets above 75 degrees, it's too hot for me.
There you go.
And I don't like the idea of eating outside either.
Sorry. I want to be friends with you, Mike. I do.
I'm a big fan of Mike. Let me tell you that right now.
Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Well, I see how it is here. I'm being ganged up on is what's happening here.
4-0.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Jack. You're on WGN. How are you? Jack, are you with us?
Yes.
So,
Amy.
Yeah.
I am totally on your side.
No.
Thank you.
The guys ought to turn in their Chicago cards and go live out in Polo, Illinois, or Mount Carroll, or Stockton, or some little place. Eating McDonald's and Hardee's indoors.
Nice.
And the temperature will be climate controlled.
Yep.
And they won't have to worry about sparrows. I mean, talk about snowflakes.
I've been waiting to be called a snowflake on air for the longest time.
Thank you for being my friend and coming to my defense here.
I say this from someone that does not live in Chicago. My daughter lives in Chicago. Eating and drinking outdoors, that's what makes Chicago, Chicago.
This is what I'm saying. Thank you, Jack.
Yes.
No. I appreciate the support. There's one person on my side.
That is the first time.
I am with you 100%.
Thank you, Jack. And where do you live?
Thanks for taking my call.
Where are you from, Jack? You said you don't live in Chicago?
Well, my daughter scolds me because I visit Madison, Wisconsin once a month, so I claim I'm from Madison, but she says, Dad, you're not. Actually, I'm from the small town of Clinton, Iowa. But,
okay, sure.
I love to get to Chicago. I love to get to Madison. So Chicago's a great city, indoors or outdoors.
Thank you very much. Well said. I agree.
Are you allowed to eat outdoors in Clinton or no? Do they let you do that?
You can, but you struggle to find places here that's what I'm saying. It's just
it's a bunch of snowflakes.
You go up to Galena. In Galena you can, and down in LeClaire, Iowa, but not so much here.
See? Jack knows what's happening. Thank you, Jack. Have a lovely day.
Take care,
I appreciate
Jack.
The call.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a break while you guys are ganging up on me.
Jack and
I are going to go have a nice little bite to eat somewhere at a cafe because he's
will,
on my side.
This will rage on.
Oh, we are not finished, Hupke. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back to settle the score. Eating outside is awesome. Hupke says otherwise. Right back in just a bit on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth and Rex Hupke hanging with you till 9 o'clock, talking about all the things. We have settled a little fight about...
Settled.
Oh, it's settled because I'm right. That last caller, got the last word, so therefore, it's
one,
right. I'm
two,
right.
I think isn't it 4-2 at this point, I believe?
Right, but the caller said that last.
Oh, I see.
So last
word.
And
he did drop a sweet snowflake bomb.
And he did call
us,
a snowflake. He called you Rex Hupke, you Tom Hush, and you Domati Pongo a bunch of snowflakes.
Man,
that was funny.
Hey,
and that
kind
of counts as two.
Yeah.
His vote counts as two, because that was a pretty good dig right there.
That was a wicked burn.
Get enough of us snowflakes together and you got a blizzard, okay? So take that.
Get out of here. That's the only time I've ever been like pro the word
pro
snowflake.
Yeah. It was a sweet, it was a sick burn. I got to give it to Jack.
It was a sick burn.
Was nice.
Points for Jack on that one.
Yep. Mm,
goodness. So, you know what? It is Memorial Day, and so I do want to talk a little bit about that. That is, well, first of all, looking at social media on Memorial Day, I think leads people to believe that possibly there are a lot of folks a little confused about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of like picture. I think it like Veterans Day and Memorial Day get a little confusing for folks, which okay. And 4th of July sometimes gets squished in there.
Yep, definitely.
So I saw some really confusing Instagram posts and I was like, I don't think you know what's Memorial Day is about. That's okay. So we're, you know, but the most stark example of that that I saw, Rex, was I was in the grocery store this morning and there was a couple. The guy was British, the woman was American, and they were buying a lot of hot dogs and a lot of beer. And he was really completely bewildered as to why they were having a barbecue to celebrate on a non-celebratory holiday
right.
that he felt should be a little more somber. And she was really trying to explain, but even she realized she didn't have a good answer for that.
Yeah, it's one of those odd things that has been sort of, I don't want to say twisted up or turned around necessarily, but it's not, you know, and I'm not saying that people who have barbecues on Memorial Day are in any way doing anything bad or wrong, but what is missed is that it is a solemn day, and it's a day to remember the women and men who've died and given their lives for this country, and so, you know, you get a lot of happy Memorial Day, which, again, you know, innocent mistake, I'm not casting aspersions on anyone, but it is. And frankly, I remember when I was first told, oh, hey, don't say that. And I didn't know prior to that. I was like, oh my gosh, I know, you know, just didn't think about it. And so I think there's a real eagerness that people have to honor and cheer on and support active duty as well as veterans. And so I think sometimes that rolls over itself and you don't actually stop and think about what is the meaning of this particular day that we're dealing with here.
Right, right. I saw a couple of little internet fights bubbling up this morning, and one of them was based on somebody posted a photograph of her grandfather or uncle or somebody, I think grandfather, that said, you know, he served in World War II and he just died last year and I miss him and, you know, happy Memorial Day. So I'm putting this in his memory. And so someone was like, well, no, it's about people who die in combat, not people who are veterans and then become civilians and go, you know.
Yeah.
So this big fight erupted and it was like her heart was in the right place. She was mistaken, but her heart was in the right place.
It's a bad thing to argue over.
Ultimately, she even said, but I don't want active service members to feel left out.
Mm-hmm.
And this other person said, well, but that's Armed Forces Day and Veterans Day.
Yeah.
So everybody's covered. We're good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that the people whose opinions matter the most are veterans. The experiences that I've had around veterans on this issue is that they usually are very patient and will explain it and nicely and, you know, recognize that somebody's not coming from a bad place when they say
right.
something like that, that they just don't get it. And
right.
so maybe the veteran can educate them, which is great. And
right.
that's the ideal. But yeah, you see a lot of people get snipey and because that's what people do on social media sometimes. And,
sure.
and it's a shame because anything like that is just distracting from where and the thought should be and what the thought should be about. But
yeah.
So I don't know.
My dad has a hat that identifies him as a veteran,
mm-hmm.
a combat veteran, and he wears that a lot. And we were somewhere one time and somebody said something like, happy Memorial Day. Thank you for your service. And he just looked up and was like, I ain't dead. And I'm like, that's my dad. There you go.
Yes.
I mean, you see why I'm the way I am, because he, that kind of unfiltered bluntness is
he ain't dead.
Apple fallen far from the tree, et cetera. He just like didn't even miss a beat. I mean, he then joked and it was like, I thank you, but this is for the people who didn't make
right,
it. But
yeah.
thanks, you know.
Okay, at least he came around.
He came around, but just completely deadpan. I ain't dead. I was like, Dad.
Yeah, but I mean, for so many people though, it's a 3-day weekend, and yeah. You know, the law, they don't think about it, and that's a shame. I mean, this is a real problem, widespread in our country. Generally, is not appreciating veterans and their service and their sacrifices, particularly.
So. Totally agreed. And I think particularly, well, there's no group of veterans that have had it worse than any other. I mean, I think war is war, and I've never been there, but certainly, you know, I'm from a military family, and my dad is a combat veteran, as I said, and both my grandfathers and uncles and all that. So I think certain groups, though, I think had a very rough, particularly Vietnam veterans, I think, mm-hmm. coming back, there was so much going on politically, and a lot of people there wasn't that welcoming sense.
Sure.
Is the sense that I get. So just be cool. Everybody be cool.
Yes.
All that.
That's a good thing, right?
Just be cool. I would say, I understand why, we were talking about this on the Wintrust Business Lunch on Saturday. I get why travel numbers are relevant to Memorial Day. That part doesn't bug me so much, because it is a 3-day weekend. People are traveling. I mean, most families don't live in the same place anymore. Most families are spread out.
Right.
So if you have a 3-day weekend, that's a good time to travel. I get mm-hmm. that. The sales part is a little, that seems extremely disconnected to me.
Yeah, I agree. It's just commercializing completely co-opting what this is all about. This was never about mattresses. Ever.
No.
So, you know, I think that is very odd. And what do you do? I mean, I just, you
right.
know, I...
Well, you know, hashtag capitalism.
Yeah, basically.
That's what.
Right. And I'm, you know, I'm not opposed to capitalism at all. I just, but yeah, sometimes it has some...
I don't even know you.
It has some... I've never said I was opposed to capitalism. and unless that capitalism involves people eating outdoors. No, I
guess. Oh, we bring it back to that. It's going to be it's going to keep going.
How was that for a sweet segue, huh?
Sweet callback, bro. We're going to take a break is what we're going to do. And then we're going to get you to news here in just a bit. We will be right back. Amy Guth, Rex Hupke, back in a flash, 720 WGN. Seven 20 WGN. It's Amy Guth and Rex Hupke in for Justin Kaufman tonight. We're hanging out with you till 9 p.m. talking about all the things. We've been talking a little bit about Memorial Day, because it is upon us, of course, and how sometimes it's a little, the messages on social media, people tend to kind of blend Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and Armed Forces Day kind of all into one thing, and we're trying to kind of like, well, you know, everybody's covered here, but we got to make sure we're doing the right one. And this indeed is about people who gave the ultimate sacrifice in their service of this country. And we have Brian on the phone. Hi, Brian. You have a comment about Memorial Day?
Hey, Amy and co-host. I forget your name. I'm sorry.
You can just call me. Call me whatever. I answered anything.
There's so many new people at WGN. But anyways, yeah. A buddy of mine was Marine Corps, and he politely corrected me when I thanked him personally on Memorial Day. So, you know, it's kind of a good thing that, you know, people step up and say, hey, you know, these aren't, it's not for me. I'm still alive, like
right.
your dad said.
Yeah, yeah.
But the confusion part on the party in the afternoon, barbecues, whatnots, and so on and so forth is, you know, these military families, men, women, went through a lot, you know, gave their life for
sure.
all of us. And so with the federal government, the flag is supposed to be put at half staff up until noon. So the morning time you mourn the loss of our fellow military people, not the ones that are still alive or like my grandfather who passed away at 95. A few years ago. And then in the afternoon, it's time for celebrating. You know, let's get together. This is why these people fought. This is why we all fight for what we think is right. And, you know, let's celebrate in their memory. Now, that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know what? I didn't realize that about the flags at noon. I thought they were supposed to be at half staff all day long. So I learned something from you, Brian. Thank you.
Interesting. Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, have a good day, guys.
Thanks very much. Appreciate the call, Brian. Well, I didn't know. Did you know that?
I did not. No, that's interesting.
Unnamed co-host.
Yes, thank you. From here on out, I would like to be referred to as unnamed co-host.
Unnamed co-host. What's his name over there?
Guth, yeah. And unnamed co-host.
Guth and what's his name?
Can I be the producer formerly known as Tom Hush?
Sure, why not?
Yes.
You have the best name. Tom Hush is such a good name. Why would you not embrace it? You're the kind of person that I will always address by first and last name. What's
Thank
up,
you.
Tom Hush? Because it's like that's a name that just flows. Tom
and
Hush.
I'm Roger Steelman.
And you're nope. You're unnamed co-host. Although Roger Steelman is ridiculous. Roger Steelman. Some guy listening right now is named Roger Steelman and is a super nice person. And he's going to be like, what's wrong with my name, bro? Unnamed co-host.
There is no greater indictment of the newspaper industry right now than
you.
Than Chicago Tribune columnist, also known as unnamed co-host.
That was awesome. Thank you, Brian, for the wicked burn on
yes,
that guy.
Yes, sweet one.
I appreciated that.
I had it coming.
He's right. He's right. You know, totally. There's lots of people. It's anytime there's a holiday, we always
yeah, there's a lot of shuffling.
Mix up the, yeah, we shuffle the lineup a little bit. So, yeah, so we're in for Justin Kaufman. He's off doing some stuff. Yeah. Anyway, so we've been talking about Memorial Day. And again, Brian, thank you for that. I didn't realize that the flag was raised fully after noon on Memorial Day. I did not realize that. And we learn something every day.
Yes, indeed.
So I want to talk about something else on a serious note, and that is Memorial Day marks the start of something called the 100 Deadly Days of Summer. It's not a very happy name, and it's not a very, it's not a positive thing at all. It is, in fact, because it is a time when young people are out of school between Memorial Day and Labor Day, that the incidence of driving fatalities with young people goes way up because they're more likely to be out and about. They're more likely to have friends in the car, to be texting. Sometimes there's substances involved, things like that. So very, like all the young driving fatalities, it goes way up. The numbers go way, way up starting Memorial Day for 100 days after this. So let's not do that. Let's think about this. Let's talk about this and I think have some conversations. Heidi Stevens at the Chicago Tribune has a great column today about this very thing. And she's looked at some data from National Safety Council, including all those risk factors like warm and clear conditions that often tempt drivers to go fast or to, you know, and have the top down, like all this stuff that in a crash, all these things work against you. Having a lot of people in the car, all this stuff, having music up, having, you know, texting, all these things so that it's when these crashes happen, there's more young people on the road as opposed to in school. But when these crashes happen, all these factors come together and they're making a, you know, very serious accident. So looking at data over the years, you know, this period of summer is a very dangerous one for teen drivers.
It's like distraction upon distraction upon distraction. And now, I mean, that's always been the case with young drivers being, you know, rowdy, big bunch in cars, whatever, inexperienced drivers. There's all kinds of factors that you can come up with. But now, and this was also in Heidi's column in the Tribune, when it comes to using cell phones are accounting for 1 in 4 car crashes now. So you, like I said, you already had a situation where teen drivers were at risk and it was tough. And now you've added in cell phones. And if you have multiple, I mean, I can imagine being around teens with cell phones that, you know, it's not just the drive. I mean, you got the driver, then you've got all 4 other people in the car and they're all
everybody's
doing stuff.
Talking and
look
texting,
at this, check
look
this
at
out.
This,
oh, look what he just
music,
posted.
Blah, blah.
Yeah.
All
I mean,
this stuff.
Forget
yeah.
about it. It's just, it gets crazy. So that is, it sounds kind of cliche, like talk to your kids about being safe, but seriously talk to them about, and talk to them specifically about the phones because man, what a crazy way to cause their own injury or the injury of someone else. Or death, and you know, just it's horrible, and it's so preventable if you can get through to the teen drivers.
Well, and then you know, the teen brain is still developing,
oh, yeah. Totally.
So there's you can say that all day, but I think sometimes you have to, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it takes like an accident of a classmate to really drive the point home that, oh my gosh, I'm not invincible. These things can happen. And then, you know, then there's alcohol. That when that gets involved, it's a whole other set of things. Anytime there is a 3-day weekend, a drinking holiday, alcohol related fatalities go through the roof. There's a spike in the summer. There's a spike at Memorial Day. There's one at Labor Day. And then the big one is from Thanksgiving through New Year's Day, because people are out, they're drinking, they're partying, all that throughout the holidays. Sometimes road conditions are bad.
Yeah.
That one is a whole other level. If you add and in fact, I've talked about this on the show before, that distracted driving and impaired, substance impaired driving, we think of like, I'll just send this quick text, but I'm not, you know, drunk or anything, so it's fine. In fact, you are equally incapable of powering a motor vehicle at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's data behind that too. And I've had a journalist on talking about that, who's done a lot of work in this area. And I know I talk about DUIs a lot, because I lost a family member to a drunk driver. So I always give a PSA about, look, I don't care how drunk you get, just make a plan. And especially now that Uber and Lyft exist, like, you have no reason to be driving drunk.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. Really, go drink all you want, but just go pass out in the bushes.
Right.
Don't go get behind the wheel, or like, make a plan, or call Uber, or whatever you want to do. And don't be doing that, because in my case, my family member was killed on the 4th of July. And it was, you know, like, she was on her way to a party, and this dude was on his way to a party, and cars collided, and she didn't make it. She was killed instantly. She's 24 years old.
Jeez.
And it was, in an instant, you know, my family changed, and I've met many other families that have had similar things happen, and families change in an instant, and no one thinks they're going to do it. No one thinks they're, sometimes people say, oh, I'm just a little buzzed, it's fine. No. Mm-mm. The thing I hear the most is when people say, well, I didn't want to have an awkward conversation. Have the awkward conversation.
Oh yeah.
Because it literally can save lives to have an awkward conversation. Like, look, I know you just had a couple drinks and you seem okay, but why don't you just hang out a little bit longer?
Sure.
Or just crash here on the couch or whatever. Yeah. Have that awkward conversation. And if someone wants to push back, say, well, look, I value your life and the lives of others, so zip it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, from a parenting standpoint, and my kids aren't that old at this point that I have to worry about it yet, but I think a big thing is to make sure that they know that you will support them no matter what. Like, in other words, when my kid is of that age where I start to be concerned about that, I'm going to tell him, listen, if you get drunk or even have a drink, you know, I don't want you doing that, but if you do, you call me. I don't care where you are, and I'll come and get you, or, you know, and that's okay. You know, I'm not going to wring your neck or anything. I mean, you know what I mean? You're not going to be that's all I care about, is getting you from point A to point B safely, and you're not hurting yourself or somebody else. And I think, you know, that's not, I don't think that is a signal to go ahead and knock yourself out and booze it up. I think that's just being honest with your kid and saying, look, okay, you know, let's not have a barrier here. Okay. You should not be in a position where you're worried about calling us because you're worried about getting in trouble over this. What you should be worried about is driving drunk or driving with someone who you know is drunk.
So I don't have kids, but I would love to hear from somebody who maybe has had that call from their kid or made that call to their parents as a kid, because I can also see a kid going, man, I know my dad said that, but I'm going to get in so much trouble if I call him because I'm drunk. So I could see a kid having conflict about that, though, like, oh, I know my parents said it was cool, but I know I'm going to get grounded if I have to call him and say that I just drank a six pack.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's a relationship and a trust that you have to build, I think. I mean, I don't think that's not just a one-off conversation. I mean, that's something where they have to know, like, okay, you know, when mom and dad or whoever says this, they mean it, and, you know, that's okay. And here's, you know, you sort of set up here are the key things, you know what I mean? Like, you care if your kid does certain things or not, but there's, you know, something like that's a biggie, so.
Right. The line is no kilos of cocaine in the car.
Right. Exactly.
Otherwise, we're good. Yeah. No, I kind of remember my parents saying that to me, despite, like, by the time I was old enough to go out and stuff, like, this had already occurred in my family. So I knew that, and it was not going to be a thing because of that.
Yeah.
But I just kind of remember it was a one-off conversation, and my dad was like, no questions asked. If you're ever out drinking or whatever, just call us. We'll come pick you up. it won't be a big deal. But then my mom like echoed, you know, right behind me. She's like, but you will be in so much trouble for drinking. And I was like, well, which is it, guys? Okay. I think, what did I do? Well, I never had a drop of alcohol until I was 21 years old, is what I meant to say just now.
Yes.
That's what.
Amy Guth, she's polishing her halo as we speak.
As we speak.
But I think I'd be interested to know, you know, the public service campaigns and everything on drinking and driving. I think kids now are so much more, like, you know, you don't have as many young people smoking.
Right.
I think there's a much bigger taboo on drinking and driving and that sort of thing. So I think they're much more cognizant of this than when we were kids. I'd be interested in knowing the number of alcohol-related fatalities, if those among teens are down, but then you bring the technology into it, and that's perhaps covered the any losses. You know, I'd be interested to know.
I'm sure that data's out there.
Yeah.
We could find that. Well, we need to take a break, so that's the thing we can do on the break. We can go look that up. And one little footnote on this topic while we're talking about before we go to break, and that is all day long I've been seeing people tweeting out the locations of DUI checkpoints. Don't do that.
Yeah, they're there for a reason.
They're there to save lives.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't do that. Right. And one of them, so then I saw one, and so I started searching for them on Twitter, and one of them, this random person that lived like in West Virginia, she was tweeting, guys, I'm super hammered because I had to have hair of the dog. She was like talking about her hangover. She was a series of tweets, and she was like, so there's a DUI checkpoint here, here, and here. Don't go there. I was like, someone go arrest this woman. Like,
right, yeah.
She's
exactly.
talking about drinking and driving. Lord have mercy on us all. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back in just a bit. Amy Guth, Rex Hupke on 720 WGN. Come a little bit closer, you're my kind of man. So big and so strong. Come a little bit closer. I'm all alone, and the night is so long. So we started to dance in my 720 WGN. Amy Guth and Rex Hupke in for Justin Kaufman, hanging with you till 9 o'clock when we turn things over to Mark Caro, our good friend. He will be in to talk about all kind of things, but I'm betting movies will be on that list. That's a thing he talks about a lot.
He loves the cinema.
The cinema. The theater.
Yes.
That's what he does.
The moving pictures, as we call it.
The talking pictures. Stay there.
The talkies.
Oh my Lord, we're punchy today.
We just went back like 100 years.
Anytime I can do that voice, I'm happy about it. Anytime I can start a sentence with "Say there, the talking pictures," it's a good thing, because I don't know why, but I never get to do that voice. So there we go. Okay, let us move back to serious stuff that we were talking about, because we were talking about how when we are on holiday weekends, the traffic fatalities go way up. And we need to work together to make that not happen, because that's obviously very, very bad. But we were hypothesizing a little bit. So on the break, we were looking at some data, because there have been so many anti-drinking and driving campaigns over the years, and so much work from groups like Mothers Against Drunk Driving and Students Against Drunk Driving and so many others that are doing really thoughtful work in that area. But at the same time, we have texting and driving, and we have very connected cars that ask us to do a lot of stuff while we're driving. So we were wondering if maybe as alcohol-related fatalities on the road go down, if maybe technology-related ones are going up. And what did you find in your Google searching?
In fact, this is a not shameless plugging of my employer, but I Google searched and came up with a Chicago Tribune story by Robert McCoppin from last year that talked about this very thing, not specifically relating to teens, but just in general. And it said that after decades of overall improvement in safety or decreases in traffic fatalities, they're now, in 2016, started ticking up. And the deaths increased nationwide 8% actually in 2015, which was the largest year-to-year increase in a half century.
Wow, that's
that was staggering, right? And then the story is from 2016. It said the first 6 months of 2016, driving fatalities are up 9% over the same period last year. So it's getting even worse. And the folks that they talked to from different advocacy groups and experts who study this sort of thing did say that the problem largely has to do with distracted driving,
mm-hmm.
not so much drunk driving, but distracted driving. People on cell phones, texting, using apps to follow directions, playing Pokemon Go, as this story.
Oh, that was happening at the
slightly,
time.
Yeah, slightly dated, but you get the idea. So, and the problem that a lot of the folks say in this story is that it's so hard to enforce that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's much easier to enforce, like we were saying, with the DUI checkpoints, that sort of thing. You know, texting while driving, even just using a, you know, a GPS type app or whatever on your phone, it's really hard. And so this is a problem that is going to, I mean, I think the public awareness campaigns about it are huge, as they were with drunk driving. But this is something that's on a lot of people to just get their heads together and say, okay, wait a minute, maybe I don't need to check my Twitter feed right now while I'm going 60 on the highway. So.
Right. The story we were talking about a little bit earlier from Heidi Stevens at the Chicago Tribune, she's writing about how teen driving fatalities go way up starting Memorial Day through Labor Day. They're out of school, they're together, there's lots going on. It's when an accident happens, so many factors contribute to it going badly. But in the story, she had some tips, because she talked to a lot of people about what to do to help this problem. And one of them I really liked a lot, and that was to have young people in your life, but I think this could be for anybody, have a special ringtone and sound notification for emergency stuff, so that you don't feel like you need to check it right then. Like, that's no big deal.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay.
Sure. Right.
I don't totally know how to do that, but.
Yeah, I don't either. I'll have to get a teen to show me. Excuse me, teen.
Summon some teens. Tell us how to do the things on our phones.
Hello, fellow teen.
Man. There are no teens listening to us. And if there are, they were just like, oh my God, Gen Xers are so dumb.
Seriously, right? They're like, who is that unnamed co-host? He's an idiot.
Amy Youth is dumb, and so is that unnamed co-host of hers. Idiots.
I hate him. Hashtag unnamed.
I literally hate that guy so much. There's my teen girl voice. That was rude. Because I know women my age, they're doing that.
Yeah.
That voice is not limited to anybody. That's anyway.
Even teens would mock you for your mocking teen voice.
That's kind of meta.
Yeah, right?
All right. I think we got to take another break and get you to news and do all of those good things. Amy Guth, Rex Hupke, back in just a bit on 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth and Rex Hupke, who may or may not be singing along to this song right now, off to the side, away from his microphone.
Fantastic.
Sure was. Yep. You know, we do every week, Rex Hupke and I do a podcast together called Guth and Hupke on Politics, where we talk about all of the political stuff. And to be honest with you, it's an hour long show, and we pack a lot of stuff in there because, as we all can agree, the political headlines are moving real fast these days. A lot going on with them. And in fact, sometimes we get halfway through the show and go, oh, wait, that was only 3 days ago. That seemed like it was, how can we not talk about that? That already seemed like a month ago, because so much has happened between now and then. So we're not going to stay on politics long. And we won't have time to take calls on this, but we want to update you just a little tiny bit, because as the Trump family has come off of the overseas trip and, refreshed themselves from lots of travel, because, you know, that wears you out.
Working hard.
Sure, with the orbs and whatnot.
Let's pause on the orb for a minute. That was like 8 weeks ago, it seems like.
In political Trump, internet years, yes, that was Trump, a
Trump,
decade ago.
Trump time goes like dog, you know, I mean, it's amazing. But in Saudi Arabia, with the hands on the glowing orb, with the other guys, if Barack Obama had ever done that.
Absolutely.
And there was a photo of that taken.
It would have had a very different reaction.
Fox News would have actually imploded upon itself, I think, and just
become
formed
an orb.
It would have formed some kind of wormhole to another dimension. I mean, it would just there was nothing wrong with him putting his hand. I don't care that he's putting his hand on a glowing orb, whatever.
Yeah, do you?
Knock yourself out. But
man.
It was just amazing. I dare any Trump supporter out there.
Okay, I just said we're not taking calls, and you're making
no, beers. No. I'm not asking them to call. This is just a return. You know, I don't want to. I dare you. But I don't want to hear from you. To tell me that had Obama done that, you wouldn't be flipping out right now, and your head wouldn't have exploded and just, you know, into a million pieces. So anyway, that was just part. But the orb was a classic moment.
Sure.
in Trump overseas vacation.
With the in the slideshow, the family gatherings, that like, here's our trip.
Yeah.
Overseas. That's going to be a
here's
good
where he offended
slide.
All of NATO. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, nice. That's some things that happen. Anyway, we're not going to go into all that. We're going to save that for the podcast. But there's a couple things that have just started to come up because we've been on a kind of quieter news weekend for once, mm-hmm. for a minute.
Yeah.
People slept through the night in this business anyway. That was exciting. but there's a little bit of stuff that has surfaced about, it's the Washington Post that has it, about how the president prefers his intelligence briefings, that I think is so interesting and quirky, if I'm being charitable.
Yes. And yeah, this is it's a brilliant Washington Post story with this really detailed information. And the headline is Trump demands brevity when he consumes top secret intelligence. So there's a couple parts. The president likes to pore over visuals, maps, and videos, as well as, quote, killer graphics, as CIA Director Mike Pompeo phrased it. Yet there are signs that he might not be retaining all the information he has presented, fully absorbing its nuance, or respecting the sensitivities of the information and how it was gathered. And we've seen that, obviously, in the release of intelligence to the Russians when they were visiting the Oval Office without any American media present. And even one of the things they point to is that information that came out during the Russian meeting
mm-hmm.
involved intelligence from Israeli sources,
right.
Sensitive, very sensitive intelligence. The Israelis were not pleased about that because it put one of their people in jeopardy,
sure.
One of their assets in jeopardy. And while in Israel, he tried to explain that away by saying, Trump did, by saying, just so you understand, I never mentioned the word or the name Israel. Never mentioned it during that conversation. Thereby kind of actually confirming what he had done.
I'm not going to say anything about Rex, but I have something to say about an unnamed co-host.
Yes, exactly.
Who said the following things.
Or it's like eating a powdered donut and then having powder all over your face. It's like, I didn't eat that donut.
Cheeto hands or something.
What are
you
talking about?
I mean, I will say this. To be fair, the retaining information, if you're getting a daily brief that's a lot of information, imagine how much information you have to have in your head to at least passably be the president, which mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily saying that's what's happening, but imagine how much information you're being presented on a daily basis. And indeed, there are visual learners, there
Absolutely.
Are text learners, so I'm just trying to be fair here, that there's no way you could retain it all. But you'd think if I was president, I would say, here's what I would like. I would like in my daily intelligence briefing a cover page with some bullet points and then all the supporting data under it.
Sure.
That is what I would like.
Yeah, I personally have no problem whatsoever with how somebody wants to get the information. And I agree with you. I think, and I agree with even with him in that, okay, let's get to the point. Don't bury the lead.
Yeah, just tell me what's up.
Tell me what's going on. The problem seems to be that he doesn't demonstrate in any
right.
of his public speaking any kind of grasp for the sensitivities, the seriousness of the things that are going on.
Correct.
What might be, offensive or not offensive to certain cultures or because of certain historic relationships and that sort of thing.
Well, that's a bit lost in him.
Yeah, it is. And that's where it's the problem. I don't
right.
care how you want to learn
right.
the things, but you are president of the United States and I would expect you to A, take them seriously and B, demonstrate at least a basic comprehension of
sure.
of what's happening here and why it matters.
Well, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, and that is usually going into that role, you probably have a JD, so you probably already have a pretty good understanding of the entire legal and governmental system and the Constitution and all those things. So coming in from a business background, real estate, while that was refreshing to some people who support him
mm-hmm.
for being a Washington outsider, in fact, there is, I think we can all agree, there is some, if you don't come from that world, there's just stuff you don't know having not studied it.
Right.
And I think that's, kind of essential to bring that to the job.
And again, I am fine with a fresh voice, a fresh ideas, someone who doesn't necessarily even have a political background per se, but that person needs to be very curious and needs to be willing to listen to and surround themselves with very intelligent people. One of the big things I think we're wrestling with right now that makes me kind of nuts is people are not recognizing that there are people who are experts on different subjects.
Sure.
For example, if, you know, a plumber comes to my house and says, this is what we need to do to fix that drain, I'm not going to say, I don't think you're right.
Right.
Because I'm a journalist.
Right.
And if the plumber wants to ask me a question about how to write something and I say something and they're like, I don't think that's right, I'm going to be like, hey, dude, right. Stay in your lane.
You might say, why do you think that? Because that seems like a very costly thing to replace every pipe in my house.
Right, yeah. Let's both stay in our lanes.
Tell me why.
And let's respect people.
And their expertise.
Right, and their expertise. And that doesn't mean that they're always right. That doesn't mean the plumber's right about something. That doesn't mean me as a journalist, like I'm always right about how to write something at all. But it does mean that we at least, if you're betting on something, the odds are best if you bet on the person who knows what they're actually talking about.
Sure.
Not the person who's got like this gut instinct based on nothing. That's where it gets to be problematic, I think.
Yeah, and I would even go so far as to say sometimes, having a fresh voice coming in, especially in a legacy business model where people are going, nope, that's the way we've always done it. Sometimes you bring in a new person and they'll say, well, because they don't have that institutional knowledge, it works to their advantage. And they can go, well, if you've always done it this way, you can cut out these five steps and do this. And suddenly you've just innovated in your industry. But we're not talking about the widget factory.
Sure.
We're talking about the presidential role. And I think what any good leader would do is if you make an industry switch, you would want to surround yourself with the best people, said experts, and be like, okay, I don't know. If I were him and I came into that job, I'd be like, okay, I have a background in real estate. I don't know constitutional law. I'm going to get the best person I can find to tell me about that. And I don't know this part, so I'm going to get the best person to tell me about that. And I don't know anything about foreign policy, so I'm going to do that, right? Even if he has personal interest in it. I think the two things you said that I think you really hit the nail on the head, curiosity and the ability to set your ego aside.
Right.
And say, I don't know that, but I have the best person who can take care of that. Because that's the thing. If you're the boss, you're not doing that stuff anyway. You're delegating
sure.
all. That's in anywhere you're the boss.
Yeah.
You're going to, pitch in when things are busy, but for the most part, you have department heads to take care of all of those things.
Yeah.
So you're not personally going to say, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a role that would be in any field. Like, you're not personally going to do the press briefing.
Right.
You're going to send someone, so you want the best possible person. Possibly another thing that did not happen.
Yes. No offense, Spicy, but...
Spicy Bear.
It's a real problem, and I think that it takes humility to be able to say, I don't know what I'm talking about, let me find out. But, I mean, as a reporter throughout my career, I go places... And you've done this also. We both do this. You go places that you're unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
And you ask people to explain things to you.
Yeah. You say, why?
Yeah.
Explain that why. Tell me why.
I was in the writing about the drug dealing on the west side of Chicago probably 10 years ago or something like that. And I'm in the back seat of a car with a guy who's an active drug dealer. And we're talking and he's saying things that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped him and I asked him how much he made a day or something. And he said like 3 stacks. And I said, what's that mean? And he kind of laughed at me because he thought it was funny that I didn't know that. And I looked at him and I said, hey man, I'm not a drug dealer. I was like, sorry, but I'm not. And he thought that was the funniest thing in the world because I was sort of, kind of humbling. And I was like, listen, I don't know what you're talking, and I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to be, oh, cool. Yeah. A few stacks. Excellent. But it's $1,000 by the way. But anyway, right. So, and from that point on, it was great. And we talked and I learned a lot. So that's how you have to do things, though. And so if you don't do things that way, you're just going to make a fool of yourself constantly.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the combination of humility and curiosity. And I think that's why, that's an essential quality in our field. You have to go into things, knowing what you don't know, knowing there are things you don't know.
Right.
You have to go in saying, I know... I don't know what I don't know, so I'm just going to be in perpetual absorbing information mode throughout my entire career. And I think there's a mindset, and I don't think that is present in the White House.
I don't think so.
No. On that note, we're going to take a little break. Amy Guth, Rex Hupke, in for Justin Kaufman, back in just a bit on 720 WGN. We all need maps. Technical difficulties here. Anyway, what's that, Hupke?
If there's ever a gap like that, I can always just sing, I'm happy to do that.
If you would sing this song, it's a good song. Anyway, so we were talking about some politics stuff, but you know what? Holiday weekend, so we don't want to go too deep on that. Because you know what? If you're listening to the radio, you're probably around family, and nothing brings family together like talking about politics.
Now we're going to talk about religion.
I'm bringing that up. That's fun, because that makes... Actually, that's the way to get your relatives to go home.
That's true. It is getting late. So
if you're like, I got to work tomorrow, just start talking. Like, turn on the radio, little louder, start talking about politics. People will clear out of your house.
Ba-boom.
Yeah.
We got you covered, Chicago. Don't worry.
Good times. Anyway, we go much heavier on politics on Guth and Hupke on Politics. You can find that at WGMRadio.com, on the WGM Plus app, and on iTunes. So if you would like to hear us use a lot more colorful language to talk about the political headlines of the day and to go deep into the issues, that's where you can go to find it.
It is America's most popular political podcast.
That is 100% not true.
I'm just saying that.
We have 9 listeners. Lord have mercy.
Allow me to make it official.
I just want to completely shift gears for a minute from politics to Little League, because there is a story.
Natural segue.
That's why you just got to call it sometimes. There is a story that makes me laugh so much. It is so funny. There is a LaGrange youth baseball team, and they have chosen the name for themselves. Because, sometimes Little League teams have real cute little names.
Dragons.
Yeah, sometimes they're really cute. They have called themselves the Illuminati, which is so funny to me.
Fantastic.
But it's making them quite popular.
Yes.
So they have like a little... What is in their little merch store exactly?
They've got like hats, t-shirts, and the... That's just,
how old are they?
They're like
they're little.
It's a Little League team. Yeah. Wait, I don't know. Where do they have ages? On
I don't
here?
Think that. Yeah, they might. Oh, wait. 10 years of age and under.
There you go.
From neighboring towns.
Yeah, they're little dudes.
They're little bitty guys.
But they've got this patch on their actual uniforms. That's the all-seeing eye that says trust no one.
That's so funny.
It's fantastic.
So how did a bunch of under 10-year-olds come up with, like, how do you even know about the Illuminati when you're under 10?
The Illuminati has been kind of a joke in some kid shows for some reason. My kids talked about it at one point, and I'm like, how do you know? Like, where is that coming from? And it was very odd. But yeah, Gravity Falls is one show that has it on. I think there's another it's kind of like a gag that seems to show up in a lot of kids shows. And anyway, so these little dudes had this was all the kids. This wasn't the coaches. I can see if I was the coach, I would have tried to get them to do that. But most
coaches... You would have come up with something bizarre. Like, here's what you should do, children. You should call yourself... Yeah, something ridiculous.
Most coaches would probably be like, what? But anyway, these coaches obviously are very cool, and they let them do it. But then they tweeted, a picture of a little guy with the Illuminati patch on his arm. And it got something like 30,000 retweets or something like that, went viral. And now they have a GoFundMe page where they're, trying to raise money to support the team. And
go to state and whatnot.
Yes,
exactly. What Little League teams do.
Exactly. Do all the things. Get a nicer locker room, I imagine, for themselves or something like that. But so they're selling t-shirts that say the Illuminati youth baseball team.
And so they've raised, almost $6,000 already.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they have the GoFundMe... where is that? It's gofundme.com/Illuminati baseball.
Little darling.
It's just a great idea.
I absolutely
love it.
If I had kids, they would be on that team.
Like, yes, exactly.
Little tiny Guths would be on some
Trust
kind
no
of...
one.
Yeah, would be on a team with some kind of like smart alecky name like that.
Yeah, exactly. So kudos to the LaGrange youth baseball team, the Illuminati, because
so funny.
They are making this country more interesting every moment, I'd say.
Every moment. We need all the help that we can get.
Might get myself a hat.
I was going to say, we should order some stuff. We should have them on.
Oh, that'd be funny, too. The Illuminati. Our next, coming up next, okay.
the
Illuminati.
Entire...
The all-seeing Illuminati.
Next guest, Illuminati. We are sober as stones. We're just
Indeed.
Really punchy is what we are doing.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's because we let off the gas for a minute, right? It's been nonstop, and this is like the first big holiday weekend we've had since the election, or since the inauguration anyway.
Yeah.
And it's just been nonstop, and so I think everybody slept, and no one knows what to do now. Everybody's rested and punchy.
Like, wow, my brain doesn't quite know. It sort of hit the brakes, and
it's not recovered. Yeah.
Not good.
Yes. You have written about also kids of that age recently. You were writing about those fidget spinners.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a, I didn't know what they were until you told me. I had never even seen these things. And then you were like carrying one around and you were writing about them. Lots to say about the fidget spinner, but we're going to take a little break, get to the news, all the good stuff. And when we come back, we will talk about the fidget spinner and all that is with them, because there's, I got an education about them because I didn't realize they were such a thing.
It is a thing, let me tell you.
Oh, it's a big thing.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. Amy Guth, Rex Hupke here on 720 WJ. Nope. Tom Hush is telling me no. Keep going.
Oh, okay.
We're not going to take a break. I don't even know what's happening right now. Normally one takes a break and then goes to news, but that's not what we're going to do because it's a special night. We're just going to keep talking. So let's talk about the fidget
spinners. I am spinning my fidget spinner very fast right now. Let me.
I need a fidget spinner, apparently.
Exactly.
Tell me about the fidget spinner, Rex Upke.
Okay, for those of you who have been residing in a cave for the past month or so, fidget spinners are a plastic thing with usually three prongs, bearing in the middle, and each prong has a weight on it, so it's a little heavy, and you spin it.
So you hold the middle.
Yeah, you hold the middle, like finger or a thumb and your whatever that is, forefinger.
But it's just like it's a do nothing. Like it's not supposed to do anything.
Yeah, you just spin it. You can do tricks like, and so it started out as just a distraction, not a distract, a
thing
to help people focus. Yeah. Right, like real fidgety people could, and including kids with ADHD, mm-hmm. some kids with autism.
So it's made for that purpose.
Yes, okay. And then, but then it took off with other kids because basically the way kids, as I've been able to observe anyway, work is like one kid has a thing that's, you know, shiny or spinny or whatever, and then every other kid says, oh my god, I have to have that thing that's
shiny
or
spinny.
Right. Now so it took off like crazy, and now every kid on earth has 25 of these like little spinny things in their pocket, and they hit them, you know, you kind of whack one of the prongs.
Why
and
do you need more than one?
Just because you know they're awesome.
Okay. I mean, I really don't know about these. I've only seen the one that you had the other day. And that is, so are there like certain types? Like if you had a certain, is there like a trusted special, what's the Cadillac of fidget spinners?
Some of them get obscenely expensive.
Okay.
Like, I mean, up to like $100 and
what?
All the way up to like, obviously some lunatic $1,000 ones or whatever, but that's, you know, rare. But yeah, you know, they go anywhere from like $5 to $100 if you want like the titanium bearing, whatever, you know.
Why super, do you want that?
Because it spins longer. So the better the bearing in the middle, the longer it spins.
Got it. Okay.
But what I've seen, however, is that the price doesn't really matter. One of my kids has super cheap ones that spin better than the more expensive ones, whatever. But they like them because, you know, they're in all different colors. So you can get different colors. You can get one with two prongs instead of three prongs. You can get one that looks like a ninja star. You can get one that lights up when you spin. I mean, you know, there's every iteration
but
possible.
Is there a therapeutic benefit to, like, if you need it for focus, is there data behind it about how it's helping?
Yeah, what I've read from different it's mixed, let's put it that way. The experts that I've read in all kinds of different stories say that some say, yeah, it can help somewhat. Others say not really. And then the problem is that if it is helping the individual kid, it's distracting others because it does make a little whirring sound.
Oh, wow. So suddenly we're like, the date wasn't that good, but I may go out with her again, just like hang out with her dad. Oh my gosh. Are we taking a break? We're taking a break. Let's take a break. Amy Guth and Rex Hupke here on 720 WGN. Be right back in just a bit. Yeah. 720 WGN, Amy Guth and Rex Hupke in for Justin Kaufman. At 9 o'clock, we're turning things over to our good friend Mark Caro. He's going to talk about all kind of lovely things. I'm betting some of it has to do with the cinema, because that is a thing that he talks about quite a bit and quite knowledgeably so.
Indeed.
But you know what? We opened this show starting at the top there at 7. We were talking about a very upsetting development in the friendship of Amy Guth and Rex Hupke, and that is that he does not believe that it is necessary, good at all whatsoever, to have a meal outside. And I think that is a lovely, beautiful thing to do. So we were talking about that, and a few people have weighed in. We had some lovely callers. Thank you, Jack, for having my back on that one when everyone else was, when Domati and Tom and Rex were all whooping up on me and those callers. But you know what? Some people have weighed in on social media. I think you may have won this one.
Oh, my God. I never thought I'd hear those words.
Shut up. Don't make me regret saying them. I'm trying to be fair. People are weighing in. They're like, yeah, it's fine if you like bugs in your food.
Yeah, there you go. See, we don't like the bugs. And
I just heard Tom Hush yell through the producer booth glass in joy and glee for having won that one.
But I feel like Jack's comment kind of trumps everything anyone else can say.
You.
I
more
mean,
or less.
Yeah, Jack dropped a
because he called
bomb.
Oh, the
us,
part
yeah.
where he called you guys snowflakes.
Yeah, yeah. My ego is pretty severely bruised.
Well, you
point.
Were talking about being threatened by a little cotton puff.
Was.
What did you call it? An allergen?
It was an allergen, not
allergens
a cotton
are
puff.
Scary.
Okay, yes,
I'll
allergens.
Have you know.
Allergens can be very serious.
I'm telling you.
The, you know what? I'm going to stand up, though. I'm going to stand up to the snowflake comment because.
Normally, I do not support that kind of. But in that case, it was in my defense, so it's fine. Go ahead.
I don't think I'm any more or less of a person for wanting to take advantage of the buildings that humanity has constructed to house themselves, the wonderful air conditioning machines.
Hubby is a better man than I.
You can tell I work
air
for like I work in
machines.
HVAC. Yeah, the air conditioning machines. I'm the reason Trump won.
The air conditioning machines.
The air conditioning.
Do you like? Let's call all the things the most like name them as difficultly as possible. Like they're not jeans; they're denim
yes.
pants.
Yes.
Well, it's like getting a generic box of Cheerios. They're not Cheerios; they're oat circles.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the very literal loops of fruit.
Oh my Lord, have mercy right now! Oh my God. Yes.
But yes, anyway, what I was taking a stand against the snowflake
yes,
aspersion. And
aspersion.
Yeah, which sounds kind of snowflakey, I guess, when I say it like that. But what are you going to do? Once you've said air conditioning machines, you...
I mean, I'm just saying, the guy called you a snowflake because you guys were all like, dandelions might get in my food.
I could get a spore.
In fact, Hupke, you specifically said a sparrow might come up.
My kale salad might get a spore on it. Can you imagine?
To be fair, anyone eating kale salad yeah. will probably eat the spore as well.
Yes. This is locally sourced spore. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll have you know that I had kale salad just this afternoon before the show.
Oh, nice. There
How are the go. Dandelions?
I didn't eat it outside.
Oh, okay.
For me,
okay.
The big thing is the heat. I don't like to, I feel uncut. You know, I don't like to sweat when I'm eating. It just takes away from, I'm just like, and then I get self-conscious, like, oh God, I'm sweating. You know, I look like I'm
sweating
like
and
a
eating
a
is fine.
Fool.
Crying and eating is where I draw the line. I don't like that. That's where I draw the line because that just seems unnecessary and quite sad. I mean,
crying and eating indoors would be the ultimate snowflake move, I suppose.
No, that's very heartbreaking. Like, if you've got to cry while you're having food, like, that's you got to stop and say, what's happening right now?
It's just really good. It's
right.
just so good.
Sometimes I cry with excitement, like when it's ice cream or something really good. You know, I'm happy tears. They're happy tears with my Dairy Queen.
Oh, boy. Back to Dairy
Hashtag
Queen.
Dairy Queen.
If you ever want to get Rex Hupke to do something, here's what it is. Here's the kryptonite. Just show up with a Dairy Queen blizzard. You can be like, I need a large sum of money. Please loan it to me. No, I can't do that. I got a blizzard. You might get it out
you
of him.
You got it.
Yeah. Be
Sold.
Like, how much? Okay.
Done. All right. Need your air conditioning machine fixed or whatever. I'll figure out a way to do it if
the
there is
flying
a,
machines.
If there's a blizzard involved, you got it.
And wasn't there a blizzard on a dashboard story?
Yeah.
What was that one? What did you do?
I got rear-ended? No, I rear-ended somebody. Now listen, if anybody's ever had a Dairy Queen blizzard, they know sometimes they're made okay, other times they're made with a lot of love. And
oh,
you can
it's
just
about the maker of
yeah,
the blizzard, too.
Sometimes they're just, they nail it. They nail the blend. Everything's right there. So I was having a religious experience over this blizzard that I had just gotten. I was on my way into work. Not here. This was in Indiana. And I was just digging it and all of a sudden did not see the person ahead of me stop. Ba-bam! Blizzard. Boom! Hit the windshield.
Hit the windshield. Oh,
started to slowly go down the windshield. I will cut to the chase, though, and I did manage to save some of the blizzard and had it later, but that's besides the point.
Had it later. After the cops left, I had it.
But I get out, and it's this really nice woman, and I immediately, this was totally my fault, and I just said, I'm so sorry, I was eating this ice cream, and I was really, and she's just, and I honestly, I don't know
she
if she thought there
was
something,
the matter
yeah,
with you.
She didn't know, she thought my life was so tragic
right.
that
She's
she
like,
gave me a
poor...
hug.
Oh, you hit her car.
I hit her car and she gave me a hug. And we parted company because her car was not damaged. Mine, the whole front hood was crumpled up.
Wow.
But hers was fine. And I did finish that blizzard. I did finish it. and I don't regret it. I don't regret a thing. I don't regret it. That's why nothing. You have. That's why you have insurance, folks, so for you can enjoy related. A blizzard and have an occasional fender bender.
Speaking of distracted driving,
yes,
we were talking about technology.
Just sort of,
but I'm going to add blizzards.
Blizzard rapture.
Well, you know what? I have seen people doing, like, at stoplights. You'll look over and people are like eating something or putting on makeup. I've seen someone paint their nails while driving.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, I'm a little worried about her.
I saw somebody reading a book one time on the highway. I was like, what are you doing?
Audiobooks. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's very weird.
But it was a gripping read. You know?
I guess.
It's a real page turner.
Sure. But I mean, I saw a guy one time. I feel like the least car friendly food is the taco, maybe. And I saw someone eating tacos.
Soup wouldn't be good.
That's
bowl
fair.
Of cereal.
That's fair. But like, had several of them out in a little tray and they were open and he was like, digging in on the tacos, had a lot of things going on. But then I've also seen people with like ketchup squeezed out on like a napkin on the dashboard and they've got like fries and burgers and all kind of things happening. Like just pull over for a minute. Yes. Just have the food.
Yes. I would like to point out that I was very young and stupid at the time of the Dairy Queen incident.
Oh, I think that subtext came through. I think you're
okay.
good.
Okay. No. Although I will say that in terms of my passion for Dairy Queen, that has not
lit the
only
fire.
Grown.
It's only grown because yes. you and the blizzard went through some stuff together.
I call, you know, a Lyft or an Uber before I get my blizzard.
Good.
And then we're all good.
As well you should. All right. We need to take another break, and then we are probably going to check in with Mark Caro, and we're going to find out about the stuff he's got coming up on the show here at 9 o'clock. So back in just a bit on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, that does it for me and Rex Hupke. We're going to get out of here. But our friends Chris Jones and Mark Caro are here. I have been saying Mark Caro. I didn't know both of you would be here. Hello. How's it going?
Chris is my little sidekick.
Hang on. I'm going to turn your microphone
on. Am I now?
I pushed on. Yes.
Chris is my little sidekick. And, you know, he sees himself as kind of the Robin in this relationship. He's not sitting in a microphone, so I get to say whatever the heck he wants.
Perhaps we ask Chris how he feels about that.
Chris, come over here. This is microphones for you.
Because I have a feeling Chris might have something to say about this.
Well, you never know. How are you, Amy?
He's my trusty sidekick.
Rex Hupke right here in the studio.
Indeed, right?
Yeah. Roger, right?
Also
Roger Steele.
Roger Steelman or Steelman. Unnamed co-host.
Unnamed
I go by
co-host.
Unnamed co-host?
Yes, I go by it.
I like Roger Steelman. I think that's good. But I would say Remington Steelman.
Oh, yeah. That's a good too.
He just said, you want to do some crosstalk? I said, so many egos in the same studio. How can you have crosstalk?
Right.
Nobody would stop for long.
I want to talk.
Let's bring this back to me real quick.
But enough about you. Let's talk about me more. No, just kidding. I want to hear about what's happening, what you guys have on the show tonight.
We've got snacks.
Oh.
I went to the Sweets and Snacks Expo, and I got snacks.
Yeah.
You guys want any? You want
to
try anything?
People,
here, hold on. Because my wife told me that, you know, chewing snacks into a microphone would be great radio.
That makes
sense.
And
she's
great
radio. It could be that she's being sarcastic, but we're gonna put this to the test. So, you know, we got, look at this, brown rice chips. Paprika.
That
here.
Sounds delightful.
Here, all right, try these, Amy Guth. Here you go.
I'm good with the brown rice.
Roger, come here. Try some brown rice paprika chips.
I'm worried about.
All right, we're
going to
save
allergens.
This. We're going to save this for our half hour. You will not benefit from the treats part of our programming right
now. And
here.
Then we got a little segment on magic. The return of the. Speaking of things that are great on radio.
Right. We're going to do some card tricks.
The return of the magic. The return of the close-up. We're going to do close-up magic right here in the studio.
Excellent.
So you might want to – you really don't want to tune out.
Then we got a mime coming in after that. It's going to be great. It's going to be the most amazing – if you're one of the three people standing in the showcase, hi, the mime is going to be fantastic, and it's going to be really mellow if you're at home.
The sound of close-up magic is underrated.
Anyway, so the Magic Lounge is coming back to Chicago.
Magic Lounge.
Seven nights a week, all magic all the time.
That's going to be great. It will, and we're going to talk about Twin Peaks.
Ooh,
no.
Because nobody else wants to talk about it. So it's like
I'll talk about Twin Peaks all day.
Well, come on back in. You could do crosstalk with us. It could just be the 2-hour crosstalk with you guys. And I think we'll probably hit some circus and Beatles.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get benefit of Mr. Kite and hit them both. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
All the things.
All right.
Wow.
All right.
Nice to see
Over
you
Over to you.
Thank you. Oh, it's 9 o'clock, and I don't know who the sponsor is. Is there a sponsor for the news? Coming up, here's the news.
I think we're going to take a break first.
Are we going to take a break first? Well, I thought you were going because it's 9 o'clock. It is
Are we taking
o'clock.
A break first or are we doing the news? Tom.
Let's go with the news.
Just pointing.
Here's the news.
With Doma Tipongo.
Thank you.